Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you. You've got us until 6 o'clock tonight, and it's time now for us to return to the hotline on our Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Joining us on the hotline, Fox 8's very own John Telich. John, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Anxious to see how this team develops through preseason and see what they can do once the actual real games take place in early September.
Only a few weeks away from that happening. Yeah. Hard to believe that it's that close, but now that we've got one preseason game already in the books, plenty to talk about. And while there were some big moments in that preseason game against the Redskins last week, certainly the big highlight from that was the punt return from Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. Boy, he's got a Willie Mays Hayes type story here, which is just so fascinating. This is a pretty cool story.
It really is. The fact that this guy kind of finagled his way into a tryout, I mean, that's the only word I can think of, saying that he knew Alonzo Highsmith and talked to this person and that person. Next thing you know, he's getting a tryout. The fact that he, you know, slept outside of a gym down in the Miami area, was at a 24-hour gym so he could use their facilities. I remember we interviewed him during camp. He was selling security systems before he got on this NFL, mode that he's on, trying to make an NFL team. And so he looks like just a great American, overcome all odds to get an opportunity. Hey, let me play kind of a story. And, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to make the team, but boy, that was one of the best moments. And I would like to say you give this guy a chance to make the football team in every opportunity, because anybody that can survive getting piled on by thousands of pounds worth of human beings and not die from it should be on a football team.
Well, it really speaks to what he did, too. I mean, he's technically a receiver. I know it was a punt return that he kind of drew his name in there, but I mean, with that many strong receivers, for him to get his name out there, like you said, that story obviously lends to it, but a pretty remarkable moment for him, I'm sure he'll never forget.
Absolutely, and again, it keeps his name there. It's, you know, he's at camp, the fans resonate. The other morning, the fans were, you know, when he caught a ball, you know, it clicked with people, as opposed to, oh, here's just the seventh or eighth guy on the wide receiver roster with an outside chance at making the team. He's got one skill set there that, you know, that he got their attention with. He has great speed, and he had the instincts, and he, you know, took it to the house on a punt return. So, you know, can he make the team strictly based on that? Maybe that's an outside possibility, guys. I don't know. I think you got to be able to do a couple of things, you know, in order to make a roster. And you can't have him, you know, on the punt protection team. You can't have him on the kickoff protection team. You can't have him, you know, blocking for a return guy. You got to have a couple of skill sets there. And, you know, he's just a great story. And that's the beautiful part about training camp. You come up with, you know, last year, what was the guy with all those crystals, remember, the tight end on Hard Knocks, you know. And so this year it's Damon Sheehy Giuseppe, and more power to him. They all love him. That's great.
Yeah, safe to say he's a fan favorite right now?
By virtue of the fact, guys, that people were chanting his name at practice, and they know who he is, and he's a back-of-the-roster kind of guy, his name is resonating with fans, and his overcome-all-odds kind of a story, that's resonating with people as well. So it's cool to see stuff like that.
John, I want to transition into the offensive line because there seems to be at least a little bit of concern there. I know in weeks past we've talked about that right guard spot, and it seems like there's still a whole lot unsettled there for the time being. Should that be unsettling to the fan base as well?
Well, I think, with Kush now, it's been about 5 days that he's been into the position at right guard, so it looks like he's kind of locked that in. But I still think you have to worry somewhat about their big tackle on the left side in Greg Robinson. And I'll say this, the reason why, Baker Mayfield probably makes him look better than what he potentially is, because Baker's so good, as you guys know, at making a quick decision and getting rid of the football. And, last year were some of those, you know, with another quarterback in there, maybe Greg Robinson's giving up more sacks. And, you know, Baker kind of made him look good in that respect. And so, you know, I don't think it's, you know, it's a super polished line just yet. I know Joel Bitonio was saying at practice the other day about, hey, you know, people don't realize how good Kevin Zeitler was that they had on the team a year ago. And, you know, that's not an easy thing just to, you know, throw a guy in who's been with some other teams like Eric Kush is, or the other candidates like Corbett and Kalis and those guys, and just have a synchronized offensive line. Probably the best thing is that they settled on Kush, it seems like, and giving him as much time as possible and see if they can really continue to work together and get more cohesion on the offensive line.
Cohesion's a very, very big part of that whole equation, no question about it. Let's take a look at some matchups for this weekend's preseason game. Of course, the Browns are in Indy throughout the week practicing, and then the preseason game takes place this Saturday. One of the ones I know that you'd like to spotlight features the Browns' defensive backs going up against T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I mean, T.Y. Hilton's absolutely one of the best receivers in the game, and so I'd love to see, you know, just – kind of get the reports back from Indy in terms of how, in those matchups, how Greedy was able to go against T.Y. or obviously Denzel Ward, who's already proven himself as a Pro Bowl defensive back, how those guys are able to handle someone like that. Now, granted, T.Y. doesn't have Andrew Luck throwing him the football, and that's a whole different dynamic. And I guess we could probably spend an hour talking about Andrew Luck, but they're probably doing that already in Indianapolis, and you know, all the great gnashing of the feet that's going of the teeth rather that's going on in those parts. But that's a good matchup, I think. Those two young defensive backs and some of the other ones going up against a talent like T.Y. Hilton. So that's fun, and I think that's something that you want to look and see how guys fare against people on the other team. Now you know, we know there's going to be the guys are in pads, but they're really not going to be tackling per se. Probably just hit and then don't bring anybody to the ground type of thing. But any of those drills, when you're covering someone one-on-one, that's just a great litmus test to see how well your young defensive backs are performing when they get matched up occasionally with someone like a T.Y. Hilton. So that's kind of something to watch, I think.
We're speaking with Fox 8's very own John Telich here in our Budweiser's From the Sideline segment brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. Boy, let's take a look at another matchup for this Saturday's preseason game between the Browns and Colts. That Browns linebacking corps looking pretty darn good so far. There's a lot of youth there, a little bit of experience as well. How do you think that unit fares against the Colts tight ends?
Well, I know Freddie Kitchens has been very cautious on not praising Mac Wilson too much. I mean, he had two highlight-worthy plays the other night, an interception and a pick six. And so, you know, it sure looks like he's getting this NFL game pretty good. But Freddie and some of the other coaches are also saying he's got to be consistent with it. So here's a good chance to see how the young linebackers like him and like Taki Taki, and then even the frontline linebackers like Kirko and company, how those guys can handle tight ends like Ebron, and how that kind of a matchup will be, I guess you would say it would be kind of a litmus test as well for how the defensive coordinator handles the coverage of tight ends throughout this season. Because we know that in the past, his linebackers or his defenses that he's had in his various stops have been pretty good. In fact, you could say among the better teams at handling the outputs that potential tight ends can have against them. So that's something to watch, just to see how the linebackers fare against the good crop of tight ends that the guys have for the Indianapolis Colts.
John, is that one of the advantages to these split practices? Is that guys playing against the same guys every week, every day, may learn tendencies of offensive players and defensive players? This kind of opens them up a little more?
Yeah, I think it's great. That's a good point that you make, because even a couple of days ago, I remember after practice, Jarvis Landry saying exactly that thing. They know, you know, they know our tendencies. They know the routes. They know where we're going on the route tree, and how what we work on early in practice. They can tell that that's also going to be part of what we're doing in the team competition in practice. So by all means, you're going up against people that aren't really that familiar with how you do it day to day in your training camp. So that can be an advantage. So watch that and see how, you know, see how much production comes out of that type of stuff.
Some not so good news coming out of Browns camp over the past week. Antonio Callaway serving a 4-game suspension. Now he's out until at the very least the end of September. And this is a guy I think Browns fans certainly have had some very high hopes for, all kinds of talent, but that is a very talented group though, John, that he's a part of. And boy, it sure seems like he's being passed by a lot of guys in that same room.
Yeah, and you have those young players like Jalen Strong, who's coming back in his, you know, he's a great story because he's one of those kinds of guys that, you know, started out all right with one team and then things happen and then injury happens and then now getting a shot in his career. So Callaway, kind of a mixed signal. We're hearing from the Browns, I think Mary Kay and some of the writers have written stories to the effect that pleased with his, you know, his attitude and how he's overcoming this. And I think there's kind of a mixed signal because you're saying, well, this guy's trying to do all the right things in order to make things right, but yet he came to camp in not the best possible shape. And I think first and foremost, you know, that's a way that you would measure how much someone really wants to be a part of your team and to be one of the best players. Why wasn't he in the best shape when he came to camp? Most everybody else is, for the most part. At least in this modern day of football, we could talk about years ago when people had other jobs they had to do when they came to camp to get in shape. But everybody's in shape all the time. So kind of a mixed signal there. They love the kid. They think he's a real decent person, wants to do well. But how long is and how far along on this, you know, punishment tree is he? You know, that's stuff that you don't get the information on because that's not public info. But you know, what kinds of transgressions are we talking about here, and how long do you go with an individual? And remember, the Duke Johnson public rhetoric was, we love him, we one of our guys, can't wait to get him on our offense, this is the type of talent that we want here on the Cleveland Browns, and you knew behind the scenes they were doing all they could to try to get the best possible deal for him. So just, you know, I hope the kid makes it. He does, as you mentioned, he has fantastic talent. His straightaway speed is difference-making, and he can be a big playmaker. But are you going to be dealing with this every year? How long do you deal with it? That's the questions they have to answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about a lot of the names that seem like have already passed him in that very same group. All right, yep. John, one last note here about the preseason game on Saturday. Kareem Hunt is a guy that we've certainly heard a lot about over the last few months here, and a big question now is, will we see him suit up for the Browns on Saturday?
I think that's a question that's going to be answered in the next couple of days. We have known, though, how Freddie went into the first preseason game. And we mentioned when we chatted a week ago, he was pretty cryptic about who was going to be used. And so he really has not been that forthcoming with how people will be used this week against the Colts on Saturday afternoon. He's great with the jokes. I mean, I remember the other day he was joking about having two defensive linemen lining up in the backfield and then give the ball to a fullback. You know, he's just joking, but he's playing with the media a little bit. So there's a lot of that give and take where he's funny and he's engaging and people love Freddie Kitchens, but he's not going to tell you things that he doesn't want you to, you know, doesn't want you to know. So I think it would be a good opportunity for Kareem to have a few snaps. He's been in drills. He has been very little in the team drills, but that's starting to come more and more. So that's something to watch the next 2 days, how involved he is in team drills against the Colts, and then whether or not Freddie says, all right, let's have him in for a series and see what he can do on Saturday. That remains to be seen.
Absolutely. Seems like he's the kind of guy they would want to play a ton here in the preseason, knowing that he's not going to be able to play for them again for quite some time. John,
exactly. I agree with you.
We appreciate the time as always, my friend. Always great catching up and talking Browns with you, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks. Thank you, John. You do the same. Again, John Telich with Fox 8 joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on our Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Always great stuff with John Telich. A lot of fun catching up with JT.
Yeah, for sure. He's got great stuff, great information there. He brings up a very good point. I kind of thought of it as he was saying it. Look, these practices with the Colts coming up, It's against different guys. They don't know the tendencies. They don't know how to read them as well. It's going to open things up and show a lot about the Browns' defense and the Browns' offense here, I think, over this week.
Good stuff. Let's get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM.